John chapter 1 and verse 12. To them he gave power to become the sons of God. We've been looking at the great truths pertaining salvation. We've looked at faith in God. We've looked at the effectual call. We've looked at, last week, justification. And we're beginning to see that salvation is a rich and a deep, and it affects our whole life. We are completely forgiven, and we are completely made new. And today, as we look at the subject of adoption, we are interested where instead of being without God, he has become our song and our salvation. You see, they are those that are not adopted. They are without God. They have no song. They have no salvation. They have no hope. They have no future. But the adopted one has a song in their heart. The ones that are adopted, the song is something like this: my beloved is mine, and I am his. There is no greater joy that flows from the thought that I'm going to be with him forever. He is my God, and I am his child, and eternity awaits me. This is a source of great joy. And when we consider and look at this subject of adoption, it begins with this golden chain of salvation. When we read Romans chapter 8 and verse 30 specifically, it's fondly called the golden chain of salvation. I'll read it to you. It says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. So many people say this is where we get what's called the theological term, the ordo salutis, the order of salvation. But what we see here is that we do see some steps to salvation. Definitely we see steps to salvation. And we see that these steps to salvation span over eternity. We see that when we look forward, we see that there's going to be a glorification. We cannot see it yet. We cannot see the excessive brightness of the future yet, but it's coming. It lays ahead our glorification. But then looking back to divine election, and by the way, the brightness of the past is the same as the brightness of the future. It's not that the past has faded. It's just as bright as the future. God never changes. And there are two columns on either shore of the past and the future. Two columns. We will notice that these columns, it's like a swing bridge between the past and the future. And these are the effectual call, or the calling of God, and justification. So our salvation is, as a theologian say, it begins with the call from before the foundation of the world. It then begins with the effectual call, God calling us on earth now, in this time in which we live, being justified now, in this time in which we live. And then it goes to the future, being glorified and living with him in eternity forever. So our salvation is vast and wide. But we notice that this subject of adoption is not listed in this Bible verse, but adoption is seen all through Scripture. Adoption is in many parts of Scripture. We have been made sons and daughters of God. We have been adopted into his family. And we see this in just one verse. I will give you Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What a blessing this is. It's altogether indescribable in its results. The results of being adopted into the family of God. Behold, as Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, wrote a hymn about this, behold, what wondrous grace the Father hath bestowed on sinners of this mortal race to call them sons of God. What a grace to be called a son of God. Now, those that are effectually called, who have had their hearts opened, like Lydia, we saw last week, the Lord opened her heart, and she responded to the gospel. Those that are justified and declared just with God, upon these ones, they receive adoption. Adoption is for them. He gives the grace of adoption. In other words, we could say it like this, as many as have received him is the qualification to be adopted. We who are justified are adopted. We can also say it like this, it is to as many as believe in him. So if we believe in him, that's the qualification to be adopted and to become a son of God. It is not earned. It is not by merit. To them he gave. To them that receive him. To them that believe in him. He gave them power. And the original Greek for that word power, it means he gave them dignity and he gave them privilege. He dignifies them to be sons. He gives them the great privilege to be a son or a daughter. God not only chose his elect to be regenerated, to be born again, to be justified, to be sanctified, and to be glorified, but he chose to adopt them as his very own children. And we see the workings of Jesus Christ. It's always good to have a Bible verse in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, God does it. He is the one who adopts us. When we receive the adoption as a son or a daughter, it's not to the spirit of bondage again, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, that's the privilege given to us. What a blessed privilege where we can feel that we are born into the family of God, where we can call him Father or Abba Father. No slave can call him Father. A slave cannot call him Father, doesn't deserve to call him Father, isn't able to say, my Father. A slave is always a servant. But those who are adopted as children of God, they are his children, and we cry, Abba, Father, my God, and my Father. What it is to have a childlike spirit that we cry, my Father. Whatever we face, whatever difficulty we face, we must be like children and run and say, my Father, I'm in need of your divine help. My Father, I call on your name. My Father, I come to you. Oh, we must come to him with affection, but we must also come with great reverence. We must remember and respect that he is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we come before him humbly, and we come before him in reverence, and we come before him with awe. He is God. He is above. Our Father, who is in heaven, we are on earth. He is in heaven. And being a son of God involves a duty. And that duty is a duty of obedience to the Father, a yieldedness to his perfect will, to his wishes and his commands. And if you want to know what God's wishes and God's commands are, we have a whole book of them. Just look in the Bible. We do not obey God out of fear of punishment. We obey him because he is our Father. And he's my Father, Abba Father, and I love him, and I want to please him, and I want to walk with him. Our sonship, the born-again Christian sonship, differs from Christ. Christ Jesus is a son from all eternity, from before time began. He's of one substance, one glory with the Father. He's the second person of the Trinity. He is holy. He is perfect. Christ is distinguished from the Father as the only begotten Son. So believers in Christ are not, or sons of God, are not equal to Christ. We are not above him. He is God. We are adopted children. Adopted. We are not seen as equal to the second person of the Trinity. Not at all. He is the divine Son. We are adopted sons. He is the one who has granted us power to become sons of God. Yet, he loves us with an everlasting love. He has made us his very own children. Our adoption is secured by him and freely given by Christ the Redeemer through his death and through his resurrection. He destroyed sin and the penalty of sin, and he restored to us righteousness. And this righteousness and life that he has restored to us is essential for the status of sonship and for the status of adoption. God has no dead children. He has got alive children. God has got no children who love darkness more than they love light. Let's move on. What is adoption? It is the act of the transfer from an alien family into the family of God himself, into his care, his wonderful provision. It means that we who were at one time children of wrath, we were at one time children of darkness, we were at one time children of Satan, but God has redeemed us, and he has made us and adopted us into his family. We are now children of the Most High God, children of the light, children of righteousness, children of truth. Doesn't matter which nation we are from. In the Old Testament days, only the Jew could be adopted. But through Jesus Christ, we have been included. The Gentiles have been included. In Christ, all of us are included. My Father, who feeds the fowls of the air, that neither sow nor reap, he will feed us Our Father who clothes the lilies of the field, he will not neglect us, his children. We are his adopted children. He will take care of us. What a privilege this is. My Father shall supply my bread. My Father shall supply my water. Shall be sure. My Father knows what I need before I even ask him. I'm a child of God. This is my portion. His heart is for me. And if his heart is for me, there is also a portion of his house for me. And this is a wonderful thought, absolutely wonderful thought. And it's all a free gift. Adoption is God's gift, a mercy that is born out of free grace. We are strangers and we didn't deserve sonship, but mercy chose to adopt us. He chose to show kindness to us and not wrath to us. He chose us before the foundation of the earth, as we saw earlier. Some people, they say, well, why are not all people adopted? That's not fair. God's not fair. But wait a moment. God is fair. God is beyond fair. Because we who were still sinners, he chose us when we were so undeserving, when we were so lost, when we were still slaves to sin, he chose us. We didn't deserve to be chosen, but he chose us. We deserved death, but he chose us. And this is grace, and this is mercy. This is undeserved kindness. God is very fair. God is very merciful. God's overruling providence chose me. I rejoice in the fact that he chose me. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Oh, what a joy it is to be drawn by God with loving kindness into the truth, into holiness, into a life of righteousness. Well, this is something which is so precious. You see, when God adopts us, a Bible picture, and we won't spend long on it, would be like Moses when he was a baby, floating in that basket. He was rescued from the river. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. She took him. She had pity upon the baby Moses because he was so fair. And the Lord had pity upon us. We were not fair. We were ugly. But he had pity upon us. And he adopted us. And he made us part of his family. He dignifies us with his name. He gives us his name. The adopted one bears his name. When man adopts somebody, the adopted one is given a new name. They take the name of the family that adopts them. But do you know that when that person adopts them, they cannot change their nature. They cannot change who they are. But when God adopts us, he gives us a new nature. He gives us new desires. He justifies us. And the one whom he justifies, he also sanctifies. And God works in us, making us more into his image. And we will look at this in detail next week. Sanctification, being transformed into the image of God, becoming holy. It's a progressive sanctification. It doesn't happen in an instant. Now I'm sanctified. It is an ongoing work. And it continues until that day that we shall see him face to face, and then we shall be like him. No one is perfect yet. Our natures in adoption, there comes a desire to be conformed into his image. We may not be perfect. We may not keep all the statutes and the word of God perfectly. But there comes a change in our nature, a desire to keep it. I want to please God. I want to walk in His ways. I treasure His ways. He adopted us from slavery. We were slaves to our passions. We were slaves to our sins. But mercy redeemed me a slave. He made me His own dear son. What does God adopt us to? He adopts us to a state of excellence. He adopts us into the family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He adopts us into a state of liberty. We were slaves, but now we have been made free. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You're an heir of God through Christ. Galatians 4 and verse 7. So, in other words, you could say it, when we are adopted and become sons of God, we are made to feel our character is changed. Our nature is changed. We feel cheerful in the service of God. The adopted one is joyful in the house of prayer. Doesn't say, oh no, we have to pray now. Longs for prayer. Longs for fellowship with other believers. Longs for the ordinances of grace. Oh, what a... God adopts us into dignity. He makes us heirs of His promise. The adopted one is God's special treasure. God adopts us as sons to an eternal inheritance. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He has an inheritance for us, a wonderful inheritance, the riches of the kingdom. Oh, the kingdom's riches, so vast. When we think of maybe the gates of the pearly gates, oh, what wealth. When we think of the streets of gold, what wealth. But that's nothing really compared to the white lily of peace, the peace that He gives us in our hearts. And even that is nothing compared to the great reward of seeing Him face to face and living with Him in eternity forever and ever in the glory and in the light. Oh, this is our inheritance. This is what we have to look forward to as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are adopted into a kingdom which shall never be shaken. Never. You know, there's some good kingdoms on earth. There's some kings that wear crowns of gold. But all kings of this earth have got feet of clay. They can stumble and they can fall. But our King shall never fall. Our kingdom shall never be shaken. It is established forever and forever in heaven. What a joy. What a joy. We stand in awe. We stand in wonder that God has adopted us. What amazing love. What an amazing thought that God, who already has a son, would adopt us as sons. Men adopt because they want children and they desire somebody to bear their name. But God has a son. Jesus Christ is called God's dear Son. We know that. He's the second person of the Trinity. So a son who is more worthy than angels. Now, to think that God would need another son, and we were not nearly as worthy as angels, yet He chose us. He didn't need a son, but He knew that we needed a father. He knew that we needed redemption. We needed a father. What grace is this? when we think that he adopted us when we were deformed with sin, when we were diseased lepers, when we were not perfect, we were not clothed in holiness, yet mercy forgave us and adopted us. His love made even angels to wonder and stand in awe. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Spiritual adoption. We are made his sons, taken into his family, pitied, protected, and provided for. This is what a son gets cared for. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, we have received him. He has given us the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. How sad the ones that do not believe in his name. How sad their condition is that they live in unbelief. They do not receive the grace of adoption that's available. They have no faith in God. They believe not. They do not know God. They do not have eternal life. The scripture says, this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17 and verse 3. These that have no faith, they don't know God. They're not justified by grace. They believe not in his name. And they go from evil to evil rather than going from glory to glory. They don't go from faith to faith. They don't go up, they go down. And they know not God. God's children know him. And God's children know his voice. And another voice they will not follow. They know the Good Shepherd. They love the Good Shepherd. But sadly, unbelievers are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're not alive in Christ. And God has no dead children. If you're not a child of God, there's no inheritance for you. These ones that know not God have no inheritance. Oh, this is they have no future. They have no hope. They are lost. And we must examine ourselves and we must ask ourselves, am I adopted? Am I a child of God? And there's only two groups in this world, sons of the devil and sons of God. So let's put ourselves on trial. Let's, for the next few minutes, just examine ourselves. It's not a sign that we are adopted because we're born of Christian parents. Oh, you ask people, are you saved? Oh, yeah, yeah, my mother's saved, my father's saved, and even my father is a pastor. I'm saved. No, that's not a sign that you are adopted. The Jews in Bible days, they boasted that they were of Abraham's seed. And they say, their argument was, we must be good because we come from such good seed. We come from Abraham. We are good people. And even Abraham, although he was a good man, Abraham had a bad son. He had an Ishmael. Godly parents can have wicked sons. Just because you are born of a godly parent, you can still be wicked. It doesn't mean that you are saved. Jesus said you must be born again, not born of godly parents. We are made sons alone by the adoption of grace. So one of the keys to knowing whether you are adopted, to knowing if you are a real son of God, is simply, are you obedient to God's word? The son is obedient to God's word. We see this in Jeremiah 35, verse 5 and 6. And I'll just read it to you and I'll explain. We see bowls of wine and cups of wine were set before the sons of the Rebekahites, saying, drink the wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for our father commanded us, saying, we shall not drink wine. So Yahweh, these sons, and they said, our father told us we mustn't do it, and we will not disobey our father. The true son of God will not disobey the father's word. The true son of God loves the father's word. And when God's word says to us, drink not of the sins of the enchanted cup, the adopted child says, my father in heaven commanded me not to drink. I dare not drink. I will not do it. An adopted son believes not only the promises of God, but obeys the commands of God. He's a son that is obedient to the word, who has a love and a respect for God's word. And this obedience is done in faith, because we all know without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the quickening grace. It's the vital artery of the soul that brings life. And all acceptable works come from faith. I read a few lines by one of the old worthies, and let me paraphrase it. There is a tree, an apple tree, called a crab tree apple. And this crab tree apple has got very good-looking fruit on it. When you look at the fruit, it looks like a perfect apple. But it's just smaller than a normal apple. But when you take a bite of that apple, it is extremely bitter. It is not good for eating. Why is it bitter? It is bitter because of the tree, because of the root of the tree. And a moral person, like that apple tree, may give a good outward obedience. Others may look and say, oh, their life seems very good. Their moral behavior looks very good, but it springs from a wrong root. It springs not from a root of faith. It's an obedience that is sour because it comes not from the sweet and pleasant root of faith. A child of God gives God obedience. The obedience of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We must do everything by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We stand by faith. And I've already mentioned it, we please God only by faith. My obedience must be out of faith to God. But my obedience must also, as a son, have the right end, the right motivation. And the motivation is this, to bring glory to God. So much service is spoiled because of the wrong motivation. Let's look at a Bible example. When the hypocrite gives, they sound a trumpet. They blow a trumpet saying, look what I'm doing. Look how much I'm giving. Am I not a good person? They want the glory of men. Or when the hypocrite prays, they pray that they may be seen what they are doing. Yes, they're doing the right thing, but they are doing it with the wrong motive, and they lose their eternal reward. My obedience to God must have the right motivation. My obedience to God, the adopted child, lives to see Christ magnified. The adopted child loves Christ Jesus and wants to please him, loves Christ Jesus and wants to bring glory to his name, and has this kind of attitude: I must decrease that he may increase. My life is for his service. That's the adopted child. That's how they behave. A true child of God has a sincere, childlike obedience to all the commands of God. They're not selective. They don't say, I obey 1, 2, 3, but not 4, 5, 6. No, a true child of God loves all the commandments of God and obeys all the commandments of God. All God's commands have the stamp of divine authority upon them. If we obey one precept because my heavenly Father commands me to, I must obey all his precepts because he commands me to obey all his precepts. And the same rule must apply, not only in some areas and excuse myself from other areas. I love the law of God. Oh, that I may be directed, O Lord, to keep all your ways. O Lord, your word I treasure. I love it more than, and it's sweeter to me than the honeycomb. This is a sign of a truly adopted one. They love to obey their father. The second sign of adoption is they love the father's presence. The child who loves his father longs to be near to his father. Are we children? Do we long to have daily devotions? Do we long, as we are walking along the street, to shoot up a prayer to the Father, maybe a prayer of thanksgiving? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for watching over me. Oh Lord, I'm going to so-and-so. I need your wisdom and help when I get there. Are we in communion with our God? Do we long to hear his word to us? Do we long to have fellowship with him, the Son of God, the daughter of God, who is adopted, loves the preaching of the word. They love to hear God's preaching. In fact, I'll boldly say it, instead of going home and watching television, they will rather put on a preaching and listen to a preaching. They love God's word. They cannot do without God's word. They delight to hear the Father's voice. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul thirsteth for thy glory, for thy power, for that which I've seen in the sanctuary. This is the words of David. Those who willfully disregard God's word, God's ordinances, prayer, worship, thanksgiving, they don't value him. They are not really God's children, for the children of God value the things of God. The third sign of adoption is to have their behavior ordered by God's Spirit. To have your behavior ordered by God's Spirit. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. True children of God are led in every step that they take. But true children are also yielded to every step that the Master directs them. They are yielded to follow the Master. The adopted son gladly puts his hand in the hand of his Master and says, lead me, I will follow you wherever you will have me to go. It gives the Father great joy when he sees his children walking in truth and holiness and yieldedness and saying, Father, here is my hand. Lead me, Father. I will go wherever you say. We are out of time now. And there are so many other signs. There are so many other points that we could look at. But being a child of God, what a great privilege. What wondrous grace the Father has bestowed upon us. We sang it in that hymn, to be called sons of God. So much hope is given. The Father's love filling our hearts. I never want to be a slave. I never want to go back to a life of slavery. I want to cry, Abba, Father, my Father, I am yours and you are mine. And the Father hears our prayers and he turns not his ear away. I have no more fear as a son. I'm accepted. I'm accepted into the beloved. What a joy to go home today with these truths in our heart. I am the Lord's. I am the Father's. But if you're not yet sure, if you're not a child of God, if you're not sure that you have the spirit of adoption, oh, you are the most miserable amongst all men. It's such a miserable life. May he show you mercy. May he show you your great need. May you go home today and be led to the cross. May you be led to repentance. May you be led to prayer. May you confess your sins to the Lord. Oh, you may have resisted him for such a long time, but today you've heard his voice. You've heard him calling you. You've heard the benefit of being justified and being a son of God. Today, if you will receive this grace that is flowing towards you even now, if you will find a quiet place and bow your heart and your knee before him, you shall become an adopted child of the Most High God. You'll be a son, you'll be a daughter. You will have rejoicing in your heart. You will have a new song. You will have peace. You will have the assurance that you will be with him forever and ever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Repent of your sins and call on his name. Amen and amen.